The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
It's beyond our gratitude, yes, Lord. Your goodness exceeds our gratitude. But as best we know how, as best we can, we thank you for America, Lord. Thank you for this being our home of all the places we could be. You have ordained for us to be here. Father, I pray for our American soldiers, wherever they are, those in the armed forces around the world today, on this Memorial Day, that you would bless them and keep them, Father, and bring them home safe. Let them come back, Lord, wherever they are. If they're doing a clerical job somewhere, or if they're in the front lines in places like Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, in danger, bring them home safely, Father. Bring them home safely. Be with the family members, Lord, those who have lost loved ones, those that the wounds are still very, very fresh. Just been months, weeks since they've been lost. I ask you to be with those mothers and dads and husbands and wives and children and friends who lost someone that they'll never get to see on this side of heaven again. I ask you to bless them, that they would feel the gratitude of a grateful nation today. We thank you, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I ask you to remain standing as we want to do the Pledge of Allegiance this morning and ask George Schmidt and David Roper to come up here and do the colors, and we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Thank you, guys. I never tire of that. It's always a good thing. Would you, you can be seated. You know, at Veterans Day, we usually recognize those who are veterans and who serve. But I just wondered if there's anyone here that maybe lost a loved one or a friend or someone who was in the military, maybe on a foreign field. Is anyone here? Maybe some grandfather or anyone? Now, how many of you have someone who's in your family that served in the military? Yeah, just look around. That is amazing, isn't it? You don't realize how much the military touches us until you think about that. Those who have served, we'll just do that. I mean, it's we can do whatever we want. If you served in the military, why don't you stand up and tell us what branch you served in?
And where?
And where? David?
Navy, Philippines.
In the Philippines. George?
U.S. Army, Germany, and Vietnam, 1960,
69. Amen. Bob?
The Louisiana Air National Guard for about 10 years.
Amen. Amen. Jim?
U.S. Navy, mostly in the Mediterranean and Indian Ocean.
Wow. Robert? No, okay, U.S. Oh, you're standing. Thank you, guys.
My dad and my brother was in the service.
Dad and brother. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your service. Vietnam. Amen. By the way, if you haven't done it, if you ever have the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and visit Arlington National Cemetery, it'll take your breath away. It is. I've been there several times, and each time I go, it means more to me than the time before. And I've been to the Vietnam Memorial, which is, again, another breathtaking place. The Korean monument that's memorial that's set up. And I saw when they were constructing the World War II monument. I haven't been back to see that, but they tell me that it's quite a sight to see itself. Johnny Taylor, who's not here, his brother-in-law served in high-ranking position in the military and other clandestine things. I'm not sure all that he did, but he died probably, what, it's been about 15 years ago, Ben? Yeah, 10, 15 years ago. And we were with the Taylors, and we went to Washington, D.C. for his interment ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. And I've never seen anything like that before. He was, they had a military choir, a military band. They had a cannon salute. He was with the caissons, with the, you know, that carrying the coffin. I'll tell you, it was amazing. It's probably one of the most memorable moments of my life to be there for that. And it's the honor that we give to those who served, and that should be an encouragement to everyone who has served or who will serve. How much we as a nation appreciate that. It's because of your service that we're here, you know. And although many times I know people don't think of it, well, you know, I didn't do much. The fact that you swore an oath to preserve, protect, and defend our nation puts you in a special class of people. And that's why you deserve the honor that our nation gives to you on days like Veterans Day and Memorial Day and so much more. So what I've asked some folks to do is to read some prayers from some of our founding fathers and some of the more recent people. And Ms. Pat's going to come up and she's going to read one for us.
Could we all bow our heads and agree together? Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech you that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of your favor and glad to do your will. Bless our land with honorable ministry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitude brought together out of many nations and many tongues. Endow with your spirit wisdom those whom in your name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to your law, we may show forth your praise among the nations of the earth. In time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness. In the day of trouble, let not our trust in you fail. Of all these things, we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Pat. That was from Thomas Jefferson. So he's been somewhat maligned in recent revisionist history as being a deist and some other things. When you read that prayer, he was a believer. Brother Bob, he's going to come up. And
the year was 1944 in the World War. The Battle of Normandy, which lasted from June of 1944 to August of 1944, resulted in the Allied liberation of Western Europe from Nazi Germany. On June the 6th, 1944, more than 160,000 Allied troops along a 50-mile stretch of Normandy beach landed to liberate Europe. More than 5,000 ships, 13,000 aircraft, supported the D-Day invasion, and at the day's end, we prevailed. This is the prayer of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, his words concerning this invasion, and it was called A Prayer in Dark Times, D-Day, June 6, 1944. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessing. Their road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us here at home, fathers and mothers, children, wives, sisters and brothers of these brave men, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to redirect ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Give us strength, too, strength in our daily task to redouble the contributions and to make in the physical and material support of our armed forces. With thy blessings, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of the enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogance. Lead us to the saving of our country, and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemes of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping their just reward and their honest toil. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Bob. Nick Rebo is going to come and read for us.
Good morning. This is a prayer from Ronald Reagan, February 6th, 1986. To preserve our blessed land, we must look to God. It is time to realize that we need God more than he needs us. We also have his promise that we could take to heart with regard to our country, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let us, young and old, join together as did the First Continental Congress in the first step in humble, heartfelt prayer. Let us do so for the love of God and his great goodness, in search of his guidance and the grace of repentance, in seeking his blessing, his peace, and his resting of his kind and holy hands on ourselves, our nation, our friends in defense of this freedom, and all mankind, now and always. The time has come to turn to God and reassert our trust in him for the healing of America. Our country is in need of and ready for a spiritual renewal. Today we utter no prayer more fervently than the ancient prayer for peace on earth. My prayer for you today, among those that have ever been uttered, it is that one that we are so familiar with. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May God bless you all. February 6, 1986, he quotes 2 Chronicles 7:14 and the book of Numbers 6, 24 to 26.
Thank you, Nick. Well, those are powerful words from ancient and somewhat recent history. If I assembled all the prayers of our leaders and presented them to you at one time, we'd be here for a long time reading. We really would. I have the privilege of, through the being a part of the committee that puts on the day of prayer in Slidell, And as you know, if you've been there, we read prayers and sayings of our founding fathers. So I've read countless things helping to get that information together. And when I read them, I'm always awe-inspired. We have such a great foundation that's been laid for us to be here today. So I've got a video that I want to show you now, and it's one that we've shown before, but you probably won't remember all of it, but I know that you will appreciate it. And it's the song it's sang during the video is "The Mansions of the Lord." Chip? pretty moving when you see it so dramatically put together. It's not about going to the beach, and it's not about hamburgers and hot dogs. It's about those who paid a very high price for us to be here. I can only imagine the pain of someone who lost a loved one in battle, didn't come home, can't be found. I don't know if you noticed on one of those slides, it said, I believe it was in France, they had those who died, but there were over 36,000 missing in action. So in the fog of war, not everybody makes it home. You know, they don't. I've said this before, and if you haven't done this, there's some things in life you need to do because they're so impactful that I think, especially Christians, need to see. I highly recommend you see the movie Taking Chance. Taking Chance. You can find it on Netflix or Amazon. How many of you have seen that movie? It is a stirring movie. You will never, ever view the returning of a military fallen veteran coming off those planes the same way again once you see the honor and care that's given by us as American people through the hands of our government to lay these heroes to rest. It's just Taking Chance is the name of the movie. You really need to see it. It's stirring. So the message today is, why do we choose to remember on Memorial Day? And we do. Jim, if you can get those slides up for me. A text that I'm going to use is from 1 Peter chapter 2, and it's verses 16 and 17. It says this: live as free men. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. I'll read that again. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. And honor the King. We choose to remember those who provide freedom for us because the price of freedom is so high. I mean, everyone in this room experienced it as we watched that video. There's a long column of those who paid a price for freedom. Brave men and women stood up for freedom, and many fell. The pulpits have always heralded freedom. Freedom of the cross, freedom for the flag. I've heard some criticism of that, and not personally, because I would defend what I'm about to say. The criticism is that the flag doesn't belong in the church. If the flag's not in the church, there won't be a church. You don't believe that? Around the world today, men and women hide in fear of their very lives to own a Bible and to gather together to pray. We carry our flag in our church and we speak of it because we realize that our freedom of religion is given to us by our founding fathers. They recognize it, and those who came here earns them a place at the table and earns them a place in the pew. So we must never forget that. Our founding fathers, with quivering hands, who signed the Declaration of Independence, it was their death sentence. I've told a story, and Bob has told a story to me, of when he was in Albania, and when those men in that church, Albanians, had to sign a document saying that they owned the property of that church. And Bob will tell you the long story maybe one day, but the abridged version is, when they were given the documents to sign, they hesitated. And Bob and the gentleman that was with him, Rodney, both of them missionaries, asked him why they hesitated to sign it. And he said, you don't realize, one day you'll go home, back to America, but we'll be here. And if we come under communist rule again and lose our freedom, this will be our death warrant. That's pretty serious. So the hands quivered on July 4th, 1776. Soldiers of Valley Forge to Benghazi, they wouldn't let freedom fail. And it's in our hands as civilians and as Christians, as warriors in the kingdom, to make sure that it doesn't. As I was watching that video, I thought it probably would have been a good thing to get all of Congress, all the cabinet members, and bring them over to Arlington and let them watch that video. Amen. And then go back to Congress and forget the pettiness and get back to work. We didn't send them there to fight in each other. We sent them there to do the government's business. And we need to get over this division. Ronald Reagan, in that prayer that Nick read, said that. It's time to let bitterness pass and to remember who we are and why we're here under God's mighty hand. So, a couple of things I want to talk about. As we choose to remember on Memorial Day, because freedom was established as a just cause. And I went back to someone who was a great warrior, David, and you know this story when a giant was there, and the Philistines, and David showed up, and David said to the Philistine giant, as he went out on the field, he was just a boy, a young boy, you come against us with the sword and with the spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel and in America. Well, America stands because people stand up like David and said, it's not going to happen. We're not going to let this happen any longer. I've just finished reading a book by Newt Gingrich called Gettysburg. And the carnage that took place during the Civil War is just beyond description. But for righteous cause, people give their lives. For a righteous cause, they give their lives. It has been God's intent from the Garden of Eden to the blood of Golgotha's Hill to the ink on the American Founding Fathers' documents to set people free. That's always been the message. Jesus said, I've come to set the captive free. I have another video that I want you to see. And it's concerning the American flag. So Jim, if you'll crank that up.
I remember not so long ago men stood still with hand on heart, and I was solemnly gazed upon before the game would start. But now is it a foolish thing to celebrate what I stand for, to honor from where I've come, and to remember why I soar? Perhaps you've just forgotten what together we've been through. If you'll allow me just a moment, I'd like to reminisce with you. You see, I was forged in valor, from sea to shining sea. Our brave young men and women pledged their lives so gallantly. I was there at Yorktown when we were certain to be beat, but Washington would not back down and suffer the defeat. And I was there at Gettysburg, and I heard the brilliant words he spoke, and I gently draped his casket when at last we'd broken slavery's yoke. I survived the infamy that rained down on Harbor Pearl, and I thwarted Hitler's evil plot before it fully could unfurl. And when World War II was over, 400,000 Americans dead, we celebrated our victory and paraded blue, white, and red. Now, when I came home from Vietnam, there were a heartless, savage few who spit and stomped and lit me up to espouse their points of view. And I was there on 9/11 from atop a lofty height, and I unraveled at the seams that day as I pondered our nation's plight. I saw the towers crumble shortly after the attack, but I admired our resolve and the way that we fought back. You see, we've been through a lot, my friend, and we'll no doubt be through much more. So when you look at me, please, please remember those that came before. Since I was born, more than 1 million souls have died to keep our nation free. Did you know that you can honor them by choosing now to honor me?
Amen. And don't you be kneeling when the colors are presented and we sing our national anthem. David refused to let Goliath strip freedom from Israel. He heralded a cry and said, is there not a cause? There is a cause. There are some things worth fighting for. There are some things that are worth dying for. There are some things that are worth suffering for. And the most precious thing to us that people from other nations don't understand about Americans, it's our freedom. It's our freedom. It's been a high price that's been paid for us to be here. I mentioned Gettysburg. As much as I love the South and I love the people of the South, I'm glad the South lost that war. If you ever read any of the accounts of Lincoln, I've read Lincoln's several biographies by good scholars about Lincoln. And Lincoln believed that God had put him where he was to do this one thing, to preserve the Union and set the captives free. That was what Lincoln believed. And only in God's divine providence will we ever know the whole truth, but why his life was taken from him so abruptly at a time when he could have relaxed. But he lost his life for a cause that was worth fighting for. Freedom in the hands of godly people will never fail, because godly people will stand up and do the right thing. When Pearl Harbor happened, and again in times that I'm most familiar with, when 9/11 happened, the recruiting offices around for all branches of the service, people stood in line. They stood in line to get in the military to preserve freedom. And that comes from not only being an American, but for so many of us as Christian Americans, where we know the value of being set free from our sins, and know the value of our liberty in Christ, and we know the history that brings us to this place. I hope and pray that more pulpits around our nation will take time on days like today to remind us of who we are and where we come from, and to have the respect and admiration for those who allowed us to be here, and to take this gift of freedom we have and use it wisely. Many of you saw the movie Saving Private Ryan, and at the very end of the movie, Private Ryan, who had been saved by a military group that went to rescue him, he went back to France and found the gravesite where the guy who led the party to free Private Ryan, and he stood in front of that monument of this man's life, and his comment was, and I can't quote it for you exactly, but what he said was, I hope I've done the right thing with my life to honor you. And I think that's something we all need to say. I hope we've done well with what's been entrusted to us. Have we been good stewards of the freedom we have? Have we really honored those who have fallen? And do we do it on a regular part of our life? And I know many of you, I'm preaching to the choir, do this, but to let yourself still feel the thrill when you hear the national anthem, or you hear taps played, or you see the flag unfurled, when you see a military funeral, to let your emotions get tied into that. Because freedom is emotional. Because you realize the great price. When we speak of our Savior, we know what he went through for our spiritual liberation. But let's never forget our physical liberation and how blessed we ought to be here. I went to, I guess it's been a couple of years now, a year and a half maybe, 2 years, since my son from Portugal gained his United States citizenship. And I'm telling you, friends, I sat in that room and there were about 150 people from all over the world who did. They renounced their former citizenship. They gave a sacred oath to this flag and this nation. And to hear that group of people, and you could almost hear the accents of each one of them as they said it. And when they turned to that American flag and they pledged their allegiance, it wasn't just the things that we did as school children. It's not things that we just do because a football game or something starts. For them, it was everything. You could see they had tears in their eyes. It was so moving just to see that. Freedom was established of God. We're free to worship. We're free to pay the price to set captives free. And we're free to declare no king, but King Jesus. Amen. Amen. Second reason is freedom is maintained through sacrifice. John 15, verse 12 through 13. My commandment is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I was struck just recently, as many of you were, at the school in Colorado where that young boy rushed a man with a gun to stop him and gave his life. And somebody quoted that on the news, you know, no greater love as anyone than to give his life for his friends. And because of his heroic act, two other students were able to wrestle the gun away from the murderers and save many lives in a school setting. There's a soldier's pledge that soldiers make, and there's a video that I think you'll appreciate.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Pork Chop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Thank you, Ronnie. Yeah. Oh. True love will sacrifice for another, even to the point of death. They'll do it. They've done it. America's history of shedding blood is of their best, so that others can be set free. The wars that we've fought have been to liberate other people. It says something about us as a people of what we'll do. To go to foreign soils to liberate people so that they can be free. As you know, I'm an avid reader. I love to read, and I've read many stories of those who were cared for by people of foreign lands and were so pleased and honored and thankful that we, the Americans, showed up. It's when we showed up that an extra spark was given to fight. All of Europe lay in flames and in captivity under the Axis nations in World War II. And it was the bravery and the will of the American people, the only country in Europe that was not under Axis control was England. It was fighting valiantly, alone, under Churchill's leadership, to not surrender and give in. And they knew that it was inevitable that the military might of Germany was going to overshadow them. But when the United States of America joined the battle, and our finest went there, the tide was turned, and Europe was liberated. Until this day, our fallen soldiers lay under crosses and Stars of David and white markers, places all over Europe. And those nations take care of those places for us. And they are all immaculately kept to honor what America did for them. They won't forget, and we certainly can't forget. what took place. And America has this history of never asking for a territory, never trying to get land, never trying to say this is what we want. But after a battle, after a war, after the defeat of our enemies, we give them their land back and we help them rebuild their nations. In fact, somebody said, and I think it's true, if you want your nation to prosper, just get in a war with America, because America will make you better when they leave than you were when they got there. And that's true. That's true. We do it. And we, civilians, those who stay behind, we help to make sure that that happens. We work. We pay taxes. During World War II, we took everything that was metal that we could find, and we gave it to the war machine. If you had a piece of metal, it got ground up and put in a bomb and a plane and a boat in order to make sure that what we needed in war was there. I remember it just vaguely because I was very young when it happened, but when things were rationed and we didn't have a lot, you didn't have sugar, it was rationed. We didn't have meat, it was rationed. In fact, I've told a story, I don't know if I told it publicly, but my dad told a story that he was getting some meat on the black market during the war. And there was a butcher not too far from where he lived, evidently. He was getting some meat. And my dad happened to mention it to someone and said, "You're getting that meat? That's horse meat." And he said, "That's not beef." So my dad was just as mad as a wet head and went over to see the guy and said, "What do you mean giving me horse meat?" He said, "Angelo, you ought to be glad you got anything to chew. You know, be thankful you got a horse meat, you know, because the beef was going to feed our army around the world." So the Stars and Stripes are America's pay. That's what we want, to put our flags up. If you've never seen the monument at Iwo Jima, it's massive. It sits right on a boulevard. You drive right by it in Washington, D.C. I know you've seen pictures of it. But when that flag was raised on that mountain, there were thousands and thousands of dead Marines and soldiers and Navy people on that island who gave their life to liberate it and to be remembered. So there's a thing that I found in it. Let me just read it to you. "He stands beside it as he swears his oath to serve. He lifts it up for comrades to view what a victory they've made. He marches neath the furls, back home in grateful cities on parade. He fondly rests neath its colors as he's placed gently in his grave." We choose to remember because freedom was presented to us to be preserved. Back to our first scripture. Live as free men. Enjoy your freedom. Live as a free person. Freedom is not license to do whatever you want. Freedom is what you have the right to do. It's something that's been given to you to do, but not to take advantage of at others' cost. "But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the King." That scripture is just so powerful in the message that it gives us as a way to live as Americans and Christians and what we should do. I think the violation that we see virtually every day is people using freedom as a cover up for evil, to do evil things under the saying of, "Well, I can do it. I am free to do it." We're not free to do evil things. We're free to do righteous things. And we need to live as servants of God and not be bashful about who we are and not be closet Christians. But let your Christianity be seen. Let people know where you stand. know who we are, know our history, know your Bible, and share those things. The description in the Old Testament says, my people die for lack of knowledge. And there's no reason for us not to be well informed. I will say this, that probably this church is more informed about many things than other churches. Because I not only preach the Bible, but I interweave it with history and bring the foundations to you so that you will know. So you will be strong in what you believe, and you will not have to worry about somebody overshadowing you in a debate about things. So learn these things. This is the final video I want to show you, and it's, the title of it is, This is a Soldier. You're going to love it.
This is a soldier. When our country needed them, they stepped forward from the crowd, and then they looked back at us and said, I will protect you. This is a soldier. They said, I'll do it, whether it's my boots in the mud, my charter in the sea, or my eyes in the sky. I'll go on your behalf. I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with your brother, with your sister. I will laugh with them. I will cry with them. I will fight with them. I will even die with them. This is a soldier. So they cut their hair. They changed their names. They took their orders. They got up at 4, stayed up till 12 the next day. They ran. They sweat. They pushed. They hauled. They marched. They yelled. They served. They beat their chest. They stood in our place. This is a soldier. They sacrificed their time. Sometimes their lives cut short in the name of the red, white, and blue, lives cut short because our freedoms depend on it. This is a soldier. So today, we, the church, honor you, you who are left behind, carry on their name, to carry on their memory, to carry on their flag. We are the church, so we mourn with those who mourn. We are the church, so we care for the widows and orphans. We are the church, so we honor those who have fallen in service. And honor to you, widows and orphans of war. Honor to you, the mothers and fathers who battle on. Honor to your greatest of sacrifices. May God bless you. And may God bless America.
Tonight on PBS, each year, they have a memorial service held at the in front of the Capitol building at in the mall. I believe it's repeated. I think it's the first showing is about 7 p.m., and then it's repeated after that several times. If you can, watch that. It's live. It's worthwhile seeing. You'll see some stories that'll just touch your heart just to see what's going on. Also, tomorrow at 11 o'clock here at the Veterans Cemetery by Camp Villery, there'll be a service from 11 to 12. If you can, to go, I think you would... I think it would be a blessing to you, and you'd be a blessing to others if you can make that. So it's 11 o'clock. So true patriots live a life worthy of freedom has been they have given us. The freedom Christ has given us requires us to honor and remember what he's done. The freedom America has given us requires us to preserve it. It's in our hands. It's on our watch. We need to make sure that it doesn't get taken from us. There's a brotherhood in America that must not fail, and that's to show proper respect for others. We respect those in the military, and I know many of you do this, but I encourage you to do it. If you're in a restaurant having breakfast or lunch or dinner and you see someone in military uniform, buy them a meal. If, at the very least, go by and thank them. I've had more startled people if you just go by and just say, thank you for serving. And it just, it means so much. I was in a hospital with George. We were sitting in the lobby, and he had his Vietnam baseball cap on. And somebody came, just a stranger. I was just sitting there, and they came up to George and said, thank you for serving. And I know George felt it, and I felt it sitting next to him, just that somebody cared enough to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the hardship. Thankful that because of you, I am here. So we're getting better about that. We need to live together as we were established, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I believe it was Churchill who said this. He said, if America ever falls, she'll never fall by a foreign invader coming to this land. He said, but if she falls, she'll fall from corruption from within. I'm afraid we're seeing a lot of that today. I think we need to do our part. We need to talk to our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, and try to get rid of some of the hatred that's going on. Educate people. Don't give up your values. I'm not asking you to give up your values. But to stand true, especially to the values of America. Willing to honor all who serve, honor the flag, others died to preserve, and remember who gave those things to us. They were a gift. You know, our salvation, we talk about it as a gift. Freedom is a gift. You know? Somebody gave it to you, and then we need to preserve it. If you care about your grandchildren and your children, your great-grandchildren and the generations afterwards, we need to do our part and make sure that we pass it on to the next generation what we can. I think in many ways we're almost back where John Adams was when he said, I study war so that my sons can study engineering, so that their sons can study the arts. And I think we're almost back where we need to study war again. And by war, I mean being warriors for Christ, warriors, civilian warriors for freedom, so that our next generation will be able to study and have something worthwhile. I want to leave this place better than I found it. And in each of our spheres of influence, we can do something. I'm repeating myself, but I've discovered what a difference one person can make if you just stand up. There are people that will help, and you have a dream or vision. There are others who will help you fulfill that dream and that vision. So we must ensure that America remains in God we trust. Let's keep the cross, win people to the Lord, tell them. Most people die because of ignorance. I said that earlier. They don't know the story of Jesus Christ and the great salvation he has provided for us. They know some religious rhetoric and things from the different denominations have put out, but they've missed a central theme, and it's Jesus Christ, him crucified, raised from the dead, that we may be set free. Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free. And use that freedom that we have in Christ to preserve this great nation for the next generation. So we must never forget America or on God. And I've asked Rhoda for us to close with a song today that I know that it's familiar to you, and it'll be a blessing to you. So Rhoda and Evans, if y'all would come, and let's all stand, and this will be our closing benediction as we sing this song.
Usually I only do two verses of this song, but I've got all four of them here today. I stayed up real late making this chart so I could get it done, so I could do it for you. So here we go. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains.
Dismissed. Have a wonderful day. If you need prayer for something special, I'll be up here. I'll be glad to pray for you. Next week, God willing, we'll be back speaking about life. You're dismissed. Amen. Thank you for being here.